Thank you, Brother Ledbetter. We sure love you. Well, let's turn our Bibles tonight to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Thank God for the good message we just heard. Appreciate Brother Shane Jackson preaching to us. I don't know how many folks are from his church over in Landrum. Some of y'all need to check into his caffeine consumption, see what's going on with him right there. Somebody needs to cut back on some of that. I never seen a man with such nervous energy in all my life. Amen. I broke out in a sweat sitting back there just watching him preach. Amen. Made me nervous, and I believed everything that he said, and I still get nervous just watching him preach. Amen. Good preaching tonight. Thank you so much, Pastor Ledbetter and Calvary Baptist Temple, Tabernacle, Calvary Baptist Shrine, Synagogue, whatever you are. Amen. Thank you so much for hosting this meeting. I've done this for about 17, 18 years. Had a youth camp down in Florida and South Georgia, right on the Georgia-Florida line. I know these things don't just come together by accident. There's a great price that's been paid by this church to make sure that we had a place to stay and to make sure we've got a place to eat and make sure we've got a place to worship. And so we esteem you highly for your work's sake. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping us, and you ladies for helping us. Look around at these gray-headed people in this building, and they're the ones that paid the bill for you to be here this week. So thank them when you're going through the line tonight at some point. Make sure how much they know how much you appreciate us being here. And thank you again, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here tonight. It is a privilege to stand in this pulpit this evening. And nobody is as nervous in this congregation tonight as my wife, Rebecca Bailey. She doesn't want me to blow it in the message this evening, and so you pray along with me for her as well. I want you to turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and I want to read just one verse of Scripture here, and I'll be mindful of the time. We've still got supper, and we've still got some things to do, and so I'll be very careful about the time tonight. I'll try to cut my message back to, oh, say, 2 hours. Amen. I'll be respectful as I possibly can with the time this evening, okay? I want to preach this evening on the influence of hidden things. The influence of hidden things. I really hate to open Matthew chapter number 13 and just talk about one parable. If you know this chapter, you know that it's built entirely around the parables of the Lord Jesus. I'd rather talk about them all. I love all of the parables. In fact, I would say, if I may reveal a piece of my heart to you tonight, few passages in the Scriptures speak to me and help me as much as the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could live by them. I appreciate the parables so very much. And Matthew chapter number 13 is a chapter that is full with parables. In fact, you can take the time later on. Let me just ask you to believe me this evening. There are 8 kingdom parables that are spelled out from the beginning of this chapter all the way down to verse number 58. And as I have studied these parables through the years, I've come to realize that the 8 parables that are given in this chapter are given to us in pairs. The first parable and the 8th parable have to do with the same thing. The second parable and the 7th parable have to do with the same thing. The 3rd parable and the 6th parable are related with a common denominator, and the 4th and the 5th parable are related as well. Do you see how that works out there? The 1st and the 8th, the 2nd and the 7th, the 3rd and the 6th, the 4th and the 5th. It's amazing how the Lord puts these things together to, watch my terminology, double down on some truths. He put this in here to influence us in what we believe. Before I read my passage, let me give you a little bit better of an illustration of that. The first parable in Matthew chapter number 13 is about a sower. The Bible tells us that the sower went forth to sow, and the Word of God says that he sowed the seed, of course, we know, indiscriminately, and as the seed was sown, it fell into 4 different kinds of ground, and those 4 different kinds of ground represent the 4 natures of the human heart. That relates to the 8th parable, which is about a householder, and that householder parable speaks of those that are instructed in truth and what we do with that truth. Do you see how that goes together? Both the first and the eighth parables teach the human responsibility of responding to the Word of God effectively. What a truth that is. I wish I had time to wrap my message around that tonight and unfold it for you. Then you'll notice the second and the seventh parable. The second parable is about the wheat and the tares. The Bible says that the enemy comes at nighttime after the sower has sown, and he sows tares among the wheat. And you'll notice with me that that's very much like the seventh parable, where the Word of God tells us the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who cast his net into the sea. And he draws this net together, and every kind of fish is drawn up to the shore. And when those fish are drawn to the shore, the fishermen sit there on the shoreline masterfully, and they separate the bad fish from the good fish. And of course, that net is a picture of time that God has thrown out over humanity. And as the net of time is closing, every kind is being drawn to the shore. The saved and the lost, amen right there, are being drawn to the shores of time. And when time runs out, the good are separated from the bad. Jesus said in the parable of the tares among the wheat that we would have to wait until the judgment to find out who is fruitful and who is false. Those two parables go together. Y'all following me, okay? Those two parables go together. Then you'll notice with me the third parable and the sixth parable relate one to another. The third parable is about a grain of mustard seed, one of my favorite parables in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that that grain of mustard seed, well, it grows. And in spite of its size, notice this, in spite of the size of that small grain of mustard seed, it becomes influential through its growth into a great tree. That's very much like the parable that I'm reading from tonight, which is the sixth parable about the leaven and the loaves, and how the leaven is placed inside of the loaves and it permeates. As it penetrates and punctures, it also permeates and has influence on the entirety of the loaf. And then, of course, there's the fourth and the fifth. It's about the hidden treasure that is valuable. And that fifth parable is about the pearl of great price that was found. And my, the value of the kingdom of God, the value of the church, the value of faith, the value of the Word of God, the value of a soul. Amen. I'm feeling some of that same stuff you was feeling when you was up here, Brother Shane. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. I'm not going to preach from all eight parables. Somebody say amen right there. But I want you to find the shortest of all of these parables, and it's right here in verse number 33, and that's what I want to preach from tonight on the influence of hidden things. Notice with me in verse number 33, the only parable that spans one verse in this whole chapter. Another parable, Matthew 13, verse 33, you got your place there, say amen. Amen. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. As is the case with all of the parables, this parable is also a parable of similitude. In fact, the Greek word for parable, many of you already know this. If you've listened to your pastor any length of time, you know this. The Greek word for parable, parabole, means to cast it alongside. To cast it alongside. The idea is that there's a heavenly truth that the Lord is attempting to communicate to us, but we can't understand it. We can't discern it. So he brings it down into heavenly language and uses a similitude, a likeness, a shadow in order to help us to understand that heavenly truth. He throws alongside a heavenly truth an earthly story to help us better wrap our minds and wrap our heads around those things. You'll notice with me that he would point out in particular in several of these parables things that were very common to those that were around him. He talked about sowing seed. Everybody knew what that looked like in the days of Matthew 13. He talked about the plowing of a field. We all knew what that looked like in the days of the scripture. The baking of bread, the catching of fish, on and on and on. We could go through the parables. It's not my purpose to give you a synopsis of all the parables tonight. But then you'll notice a very unique consistency in every one of these parables, common to them all. You'll notice with me that Jesus never likens his ministry. He never likens the kingdom of heaven. He never likens the church to anything that's big. It's always something small, every single time. A seed. As a matter of fact, in another parable, in another one of the Gospels, he not only talked about the mustard seed and the sower of the seed, but he also talked about a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying and not abiding alone. And the influence of that corn of wheat is that it falls into something that is much larger than it is in and of itself. Y'all getting anything out of this tonight? A seed. Leaven that we've read about in verse number 33 this evening. He actually tells us in one parable that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. The field is massive, but the treasure is very small. He actually tells us about the kingdom of heaven being like a pearl of great price. The sea is massive, but the pearl is indeed very, very small in comparison to the sea that is around it and the clam that it's captured in. The seed can only be made influential because of its relationship to the field. The leaven can only be given influence because of its relationship to the loaves. The hidden treasure is influential because of its relationship to its hiding. A pearl, a net, the sea is large, the net is relatively very small. You see the ongoing theme through all of this. Hey, if you can sit and watch a video game for 3 hours in a row, you can listen to me preach for 30 minutes. Some of y'all are already looking around at the girls. If I make eye contact with you one more time, I might get mean with you. You better listen to me tonight. The very fact that this parable is the shortest of them all underscores the truth that this is a parable that illustrates the smallness of influence becoming great. I counted it again when I was sitting back there on the back row of the church, and there's only 24 words in this parable right here. The Lord Jesus unloads a parable of tremendous influence in a very small package. It once again captures the emphasis of God's power in small things. Influence often comes in the smallest of packages. A seed, leaven, a pearl. In just about every household in the days that this was spoken, it was commonly found where women would be baking. So Jesus used that common task of baking bread to illustrate what the people would understand about the kingdom of heaven. Now you'll notice with me, you'll notice right in the heart of this parable, Jesus begins to talk about hidden things. Notice with me in verse number 33, 24 words. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now notice this statement, very important. If you miss this, you'll miss the whole message. If you get this, you'll get it all. He said, which a woman took, and what does your Bible say? And hid. She hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's an amazing truth. Especially when you start running references through your Bible and start finding everything that God intends to be hid before He makes it influential. It has to be hidden before it can become influential. I was reading just the other day. I got some traction here, so give me a few minutes and be patient with me. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 2, I love this, Brother Dotson. The Bible said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Did you hear that? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, hide something. Never forget what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3. He said, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. My life as a believer is inside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is inside of the Father, doubling down once again on the power of influential things. My life is in Christ, and Christ is in God. And that's where I find, hallelujah, all of my influence. Every bit of my influence rises and falls on the truth of being hidden. There are three major themes in this parable. I'm going to be short. There are three major themes in this parable about the kingdom of heaven that I want to bring to your attention. If you're a note taker, if you're one of the scribes, amen, you can write this down. Number one, the leaven. Number two, the lady. And number three, the loaves. The leaven, the lady, and the loaves. And all three of these speak to us about the power of influence in hidden things. First of all, notice with me in verse number 33, the leaven in this parable. The Bible says in verse number 33, another parable, spake he unto them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, you can do the search for yourself. When the scripture speaks of leaven, it is always speaking of influence. Many times this influence is left neutral, and the only way to move the needle of influence one way or another is to ascertain a context around it. You know, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. So leaven is oftentimes in the Bible spoken of in terms of its evil influence. It's often likened to corruption. It's often likened to sin. It's often likened to depravity. But here the Bible tells us, I love this, Brother Scott Suttle, the Bible tells us that this leaven is like the kingdom of God. Amen. And the kingdom of God, Jesus would say later, is in you. It's in you. Y'all getting anything out of this tonight? It's more important to influence people than to impress them. We live in a generation that is hungry to impress rather than to influence. You don't have to be a person of influence to be influential, by the way. I am not. I'm not a man of means. I didn't come from money. My last name is not Trump or Carnegie, amen, or Ledbetter. I'm not a person of influence. I don't have a whole lot of money. But I do know this, some people that didn't themselves also have a lot of money, they didn't have much, made great and tremendous influences on me. The most influential people in my life are probably not even aware of the things that they taught me when I was young. You know when Solomon, man, I'm getting way out in front of my skis. Y'all just pray for me, okay? You know when Solomon was praying in the Old Testament and he was asking the Lord for a few things? Solomon didn't ask for money. Solomon didn't ask for fame. Solomon said, Lord, if you'll give me discernment, if you'll give me wisdom, you know what creates influence? Wisdom and discernment. Solomon said, Lord, I don't want to have money. I don't want to have lands. I don't want to have I just want some influence. If you'll just make me a man of influence, I'll be happy as a clam until the day I die. Nearly every commentary that you pick up would divert this back to some negative influence, but it's not at all negative here. In fact, it is positive. The leaven in verse number 33 is the kingdom of heaven. And the idea behind this parable is the influence of that leaven as it has been hidden. That's my theme tonight. This is Jesus' illustration of the power and influence of something that is hidden. Once that leaven was added to the meal in a very small amount, you cannot see it working, but that leaven begins to develop and permeate and influence the loaf that it is hidden inside of. Now, I'm preaching to some church kids. I'm preaching to some children, to some young people. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you children. I'm preaching to some young people that have been in church for a while. You're familiar with unleavened bread. We've been to communion. Now, this is not unleavened bread. This is actually pita bread. Thank you, Ingles. But it's the closest thing to unleavened bread I could find in Newport. And so, matter of fact, I actually bought this in Liberty yesterday morning at about 7 o'clock in the morning. It looks a little bit like unleavened bread. At our church, when we have communion, we have a lady, a fine lady. Her name is Suji Hill. She takes care of the bread in our church for our communion service. She makes unleavened bread. Well, unleavened bread is not designed to be a happy meal. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I talk about a happy meal, don't you? Unleavened bread is not designed for our pleasure. As a matter of fact, unleavened bread is designed to bring back to our memory a series of very unfortunate events. When we take communion, does it say this, do in remembrance of me on front of that communion table right there? When we take communion, we enter into remembering what happened to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as His body was broken, as His body was torn. The Bible tells us that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into His own way, but the Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Y'all get anything out of this tonight? Now we got some burly young men sitting here on the front row. And if I was going to choose to feed these young men, I certainly would not choose first a piece of unleavened bread. You fellas hungry? Seriously, you can answer out loud. It's not a lie. Are y'all hungry? This ain't gonna go very far, is it? Are you hungry? I knew you were. I could tell you. You look like you're ready to eat like a freed hostage already. Amen. See, this is not going to go very far. But the design behind this piece of unleavened bread is not, the idea is not that it would go very far. See, I'm already out. You're the last one. Congratulations. You're part of the elect. Amen. That'll be on YouTube before you know it. But now if I really wanted to feed some people, if I really had in my mind that I was going to feed some people, okay, now we're talking about business now. I got everybody's attention now. All right, this is fresh French bread from Ingles. And I use this, and I just preached this to our people yesterday morning at our church. And if I was going to choose to feed some people, if I was going to choose to be a blessing to these young men, what I'd do is I'd find some bread that has something hidden inside of it that makes it influential. Thank God for the unleavened bread. But it goes much further than what is small. When you take that leaven and hide it inside of something, you can have, y'all better watch me. I about hit you right in the snot locker with that piece of bread, boy. You have something here that goes a whole lot further because it's got something. Son, we don't want you to play for the Georgia Bulldogs, that's for sure. You got something here that's influential, my brother. I mean, now everybody knows we can do a whole lot better by the folks that are in here because of the influence of what's been hidden. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm leaving out about 45 minutes of this just trying to get to your heart tonight. The leaven in this parable, do you see it in verse number 33? Then number two, notice with me in verse number 33, the lady in this parable. The Bible says in verse number 33, which a woman, now notice this with me, this is very, very important, small phrase, but very important, which a woman took. You see that? Once again, Brother Scotty, he has turned to the weaker to illustrate the greater. It's not the man, it's a woman. Have you noticed with me, in every one of these parables, it's always a man doing the work. The fisherman, the householder was a man, the sower was a man, the builder was a man. But here all of a sudden in verse number 33, he includes the women. In the story of influence, the fact that Jesus involved a woman making bread in this parable emphasizes what would be very normal, a normal occurrence. It is no accident. It is no coincidence. Amen. It is no mistake that the Lord Jesus built this parable around a woman because the influence of a woman can be tremendous. Oh, yeah. I got about 25 passages of scripture I need you to turn to. You ready?
Yeah.
No, you're not ready. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible said, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Listen to this statement. Giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. Says she's the weaker vessel. You notice that? The emphasis is on her fragility. The emphasis is on her weakness. Now, the Bible didn't say that the men were strong and the women were weak. The Bible said the women were weaker. That doesn't mean that the men are strong and the women are weak. That's a comparative terminology. That ER on the end of that word makes it comparative. What he's saying is men are weak, women are just weaker. That doesn't mean us men are strong. It means we're weak, but they're just weaker. Anybody get anything out of this? Am I talking in Japanese or what, man? Influence. And the Bible tells us that the union of a man with a woman becomes very, very influential. As a matter of fact, at the end of that verse, this is what he called marriage, the grace of life. Being heirs together of the grace of life. So it appears to be very important that young men, you pick out a woman to marry that is influential. She herself has been influenced, and she is also ready to influence others. As I've been studying this passage of Scripture, I've been amazed at the amazing story behind this. I understand that leaven was a precious gift among mothers in the days of the New Testament. One of the most precious gifts you could give to your daughter is a piece of leaven. You see, a mother was busy baking bread for her home. She was busy baking bread for her husband, busy making bread for her children. And she always needed leaven to make that bread rise, to be able to feed the entirety of the family. And when her daughter got married, oh my, one of the most precious things a mother could do for her daughter was to give her a piece of dough that had leaven inside of it. Because that daughter would then, I could run from here to Sevierville and back. That daughter would then take what her mother gave her and influence her husband and her children for all the rest of the days of her life. It was a precious communication of kindness and grace for a mother to hand a daughter a piece of leaven and say, now I've taught you how to love your husband. I've taught you how to love your children. And now you take what I put inside of you and put it inside of the children that you're going to bring into the world. Hey, young ladies, don't you think for one minute that because you were not born a male, you don't have a part in the kingdom of God. It is important. I'm tired of the debasing of women in independent Baptist church. I'm sick of it up to here. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. Let me tell you something, friend. Women are just as important to the New Testament church as men are. Can you imagine Calvary Baptist Tabernacle without the women? Can you imagine the early church without the women? Can you imagine the ministry of Jesus without Mary? Without Martha? Come on, some of y'all chauvinists. Y'all go ahead and get your head out of the sand. You know I'm telling you the truth. Women can be extremely influential. So ladies, let me encourage you tonight. God wants to hide something inside of you so that you can hand it down to the generation to come. If this was about men, I'd preach about men, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that it was a woman. The leaven. In this parable. Then notice with me in verse number 33, the lady in this parable. Ladies are a precious commodity in our lives. I'm disgusted, frankly, very candidly disgusted by the debasing of women in this generation. Pornography. Has made women nothing more than an object. You young men are raised in a generation where you're learning your way sexually through life on a screen instead of with an original experience as God ordained and determined and decreed that you have. We live in the generation where cell phones are corrupting the minds of young men. And young men now are looking for nothing much more than just the image of what they saw on a screen that they can act out some sexual fantasy, some alternate lifestyle. Say amen right there. In the woman that they're looking for, God raises women much higher than just a sexual object, young men. Amen. Y'all got the wrong man not to preach on this. This is ruining an entire generation. The Bible tells us that we are to love our wives as Christ also loved the church. That we are to honor our wives as Christ loved the church. That we're to pay a price for our wives as Christ also paid for the church. Every time you find the patriarchs mentioned in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their names are shortly followed by Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. They are just as much part of the story as the men were part of the story. Sarah, how about this name, Rahab, specifically named in Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Hall of Faith, among all of the mighty men that did great things. Hey, I'm telling you, young lady, something tonight. You have a place in the kingdom. Now, I'm afraid sometimes we talk so much about the young men that we forget to talk about the lady in the parable. It's very important that you make it in the kingdom of God, young ladies. I remember reading in Judges chapter number 13, verse number 22 and verse number 23 about Samson's mom and dad. You know the story. The Bible tells us that Manoah and his wife said, Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die." Manoah is Samson's father. "We shall surely die because we have seen God." They had a vision of an angel. They thought they had seen God. And then the Bible said, "But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Neither would at this very moment, this very time, have told us such things as these." It was the influence of Samson's mother on Manoah that set in motion a plan to understand what God had for Samson in the future. A mighty son. And hey, y'all getting an influential boy. If it wasn't for his mother. Y'all listening? Some of you ladies, get me some amens ready. Y'all ready for this? Did you know that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is always personified as a woman? Always. Never a man. Always a woman. It is always a her. It's always a she. It's never a him. Because, by the way, that's the only two pronouns that the Bible allows for. There's 19 places in the Bible where the word man and woman, he and she, husband and wife are all in the same verse. There's never a third gender. Ever. Not one time. Not one time. There's no such thing as a third gender. And there's certainly any such thing as a 52nd gender. Don't let those people at the university tell you that foolishness. When the disciples were serving in the early church, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 1 through verse number 3, it came to pass afterwards that when he went through every city and a village, the Bible said the 12 were with him, and certain women were with him which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom were 7 devils cast, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Do you hear that? Jesus' ministry was augmented by the ministry of women that surrounded him. He loved to go to the home of Mary. He loved to go to the home of Martha. Hey, young ladies, let me ask you something tonight. Are you the kind of person that has such influence in your home that Jesus wants to come where you are?
Yep.
Influence. Influence. On the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were gathered together, the Bible said many women were there. Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, only 11 names there because Judas had betrayed the Lord. And the next apostle was not yet. There was a Judas name. He was the brother of James, but it's not Judas Iscariot. And the Bible says these all continued with one accord and in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Do you hear that? The leaven in this parable. The lady in this parable. Then number 3. Last of all. The loaves. Notice with me in verse number 33. The Bible says he hid in 3 measures of meal. She hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I was reading on this subject and I came across the words of Joseph Thayer. He's a responsible word study commentary. And Joseph Thayer's said the word hid means contextually to mingle one thing with another. It means that once it's in there, man, this is a helping me right now. Once it's in there, once you hide it, it's impossible to unscramble that egg. It's impossible to get it out. There's something down inside of them that gives them the power of influence. The idea is not just that. He said it's talking about hiding something inside of a person's heart. And the idea is not to just hide it so it cannot be viewed, but the idea is to hide it in such a way that it can permeate, it can penetrate, it can have influence on every reach. It's like a cup of water, and you put just about a half a tablespoon of salt into that water, and that salt just permeates into that water. Oh, hallelujah. That salt just permeates down into that water and the whole glass becomes salt water. Your whole life. Something can be hidden in your life that influences it all. When you go home, it's there with you. When you go to church, it's there with you. When you get to the job site, gentlemen, it's there with you. It's just part of who you are. It becomes part of your nature. You can't separate it. Once the egg is scrambled, you can't get it unscrambled. It's just there. Amen. The Word of God is full of women that hid some things. Let's talk about Moses for a while. Preacher, I got a few more minutes. Let's talk about Moses for a while.
Amen.
God needed a deliverer for His children. It was decreed by God that His children would be released from Egyptian bondage. God did not raise up a general. God did not raise up a prime minister. God did not raise up a president. God did not raise up some powerfully rich man. You know what God did? God let a woman come in the motherly way, and He let a baby be born. Man. And the Bible tells us when that baby was born, that godly woman hid Moses from the government. She hid Moses in the bulrush. She hid him in the Nile River. And the Bible tells us that God divinely, supremely, sovereignly directed the youth of Moses to put him in a position of tremendous influence. Because a woman hid something. What about Rahab? Amen. Well, I got about 30 more minutes in me, but I ain't going to give it all to you right now. What about Rahab? Bible tells us about the city of Jericho. The walls were so large, there were 14 towers on those walls. They were so large, it was believed you could have chariot races on top of the walls of Jericho. A massive structure. Thicker than the length of this church. Amazing structure. God had determined that the walls of Jericho would fall. He sent spies out into that land, and the Bible tells us that those spies have been sought out by the people of Jericho. They came to the home of Rahab and said, "You got those spies in here?" She said, "Uh-uh." She hid them. Y'all ain't listening to me. And because she hid those spies, did you know that there are only four women in the genealogy of Jesus Christ that are named? When you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter number 1, there's only four women in Matthew chapter number 1 that are named in the genealogy of Jesus. And one of them was a harlot that didn't even deserve to be there. A Gentile woman that didn't even deserve to be there. Her name was Rahab. There's another woman there. Her name is Bathsheba. What about that one? Amen. There's another woman there. Her name was Mary. They said that she was a fornicator. Her son was born of fornication. She's right there in the genealogy. You can't do... Hey, I'm trying to help you tonight. You can't do anything about your lineage, but you can do something about your legacy. My daddy was a drunkard. I'm talking about everything that you can imagine a drunkard being. Beat every married five times. Beat every woman that he was married to. Part of the Ku Klux Klan. A drunkard. A wife beater. A gambler. A terrible temper. The grace of God reached my heart when I was 17 years old at a youth camp on a Sunday morning. Woo! God changed my life. I started drawing a straight line with a crooked stick. Hey, if you had to have a good lineage, I would not be in this pulpit tonight. But I made my mind up, my son and my daughters are not going to have to live with the same things that I lived with when I was a boy. They're not going to have to see the same things in our home that I saw when I was a boy. I made my mind up, I'm going to have a different place for my legacy to glean from. Made my mind up a long time ago, I'm just going to hide some things. For you young men, let me just talk to you about Elijah. Elijah. The Bible tells us that Elijah hid himself by a brook at Cherith one day and the miracle started happening. Because of that hiding experience of Rahab and Elijah and Moses, God used them mightily because there's great influence when something small is hidden, a little bit of leaven inside of a loaf. The Bible tells us in verse number 33, I've preached the whole night up, I need to quit. The Bible tells us in verse number 33, till the whole was leavened. Oh, what a promise. I'll take that promise tonight. I'll take that promise tonight. Can I just give you three thoughts to conclude the message? Get a hold of the power of these hidden things, the power of this influence in your life tonight. Hide some influential things in your heart. You young people, write these three things down tonight. Jesus said this leaven was hid in three measures of meal. Do you see that? Three measures of meal. It doesn't have to be a whole lot that you hide it inside of. Just three measures. Can I ask you something tonight? Will you young people do me a favor this evening? Will you pick out three areas of your life to hide some things in tonight? Just pick them out tonight. Just go ahead and start hiding some things in those three areas. See what God does for you. Three things. Let me show them to you very briefly. I'm concluding the message, preacher. Number one, get God's word hid in your heart. This is my message. Psalm 119, verse number 11 said, Thy word have I hid. Oh my. In my heart. That I might not sin against thee. Get God's word hid in your heart tonight. It'll make a difference in your life. Number two, get God's wisdom hid in your heart. Amen. Psalm 51, verse number 6 said, In the hidden part thou hast made known thy in the hidden parts thou hast made known to me thy wisdom. David said there was a time in my life where my heart was corrupt. Psalm 51, you know the context of that. There was a time in my life my heart was corrupt. I was guilt, blood guilty, all the way down to the core of who I was. And he said, I started hiding some things in my heart. And wisdom started developing from those things that I hid. And the more that I hid, the more wisdom developed. It just kept growing and growing and growing. Hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's wisdom in your heart. Here's my last thought tonight. Get God's will hid in your heart. Colossians 3, I started the message with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3 said this. It talks about my life, which is God's will. He said, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That word life there is talking about the will of God. It's talking about my life that is lived for His kingdom. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is His will. Everything about my life must have the fingerprints of the will of God on it. Everything in my life must be directed by that one consequential will, and that is not mine but His. Everything in my life has to be directed to that true north, that northern star. I direct myself back to it every single time. I delight to do thy will, O God. Jesus said when you pray, pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, open the heavens and show me your will tonight and make that will my life.
That's
I'm just telling you. I'm not just preaching to the girls. I'm preaching to the guys too. Let me tell you something. If you'll hide that desire in your heart, you watch God give you influence. Father, in Jesus' name, use the preaching of your word tonight with these young people that are so precious to our hearts. My children are in the congregation this evening. The church members that I pastor are in the congregation this evening. I pray, oh Father, that you would fill their hearts with your word and your wisdom and your will. Make a difference. Make them influential because of the hidden things. We'll pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. Pastor Ledbetter is coming to lead the invitation as he sees fit. Preacher, you want to lead the invitation, that'll be fine. Some are already coming to pray. Preacher has said, go ahead. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll be responsible to make sure folks are not embarrassed. I'd say in a message like this, it's a pretty broad brush. There's a lot to pray about tonight. There's a lot of things that need to be brought to the altar. Listen, Jesus said, learn to be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you Lord over many things. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Learn to be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you Lord over many things. He didn't say learn to be faithful over a bunch of things, and I'll make you Lord over a few. He said just pick out a few places in your life, just a few places. It might be your cell phone tonight. It might be a relationship. Hide something in those things tonight for the will of God and the Word of God and His wisdom. And I promise you, He will give you influence. Amen. He'll give you an influence that is dynamic far beyond anything that you could have ever made for yourself. Let God put you in that place tonight. There's several ladies, several young men in the altar praying tonight. If you need to come, there's plenty of room for you. Don't leave without doing business with the Lord. You might have an issue that you need to come pray about tonight that your youth pastor doesn't know about. Your pastor doesn't know about. Your mother and father, they don't even know about it. I tell you, I've got issues in my life that nobody knows about, just me and the Lord. But I've always found Him faithful. Can bring those things to Him tonight. Cast my cares upon Him. And He has shown me over and over again, time after time, He cares for me. He cares for me. You young men, let me ask you a question now. Do you want to have influence? Hide some things in your life. Hide some things in your life. You young ladies, do you want to have influence? Do you want to know the power of influence? Hide some things. Hide some things in your life. Preacher, thank you. Thank you, Pastor.